Welcome to Bi Plus, podcasting for the Bi Plus universe. I'm Elizabeth Meacham, and I'm here with my co-host, Mick Collins. And today we welcome Brent Frederick, founder and curator of the Bi Pan Library. Welcome, Brent. Good to
Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for
Yeah.
having me.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit about yourself?
Well, I am a bisexual, genderqueer, disabled activist in the Pacific Northwest. I live here with my partner, my three cats. There was a big addition of more cats last year.
Nice.
Yeah, I spend a lot of my time reading and researching and endlessly trawling the internet. Those are my hobbies.
Yeah. Well, and I see all those books behind you. You guys can't see it, but there's a ton of books. So we're going to talk about a library, evidently. But yeah, helpful to note that that person has a lot of books. They know what they're talking about.
Exactly. All right. So, Ren, what inspired you to start the Bipan Library?
The way I figured out that I was bisexual was through a book. The first bi book I ever read, it's a book called Far From You by Tess Sharp. I give her so much promotion every time we talk about this because it was a really important book to me, a YA book from like 2014 or something like that. And I was reading it in church,
Nice.
and I got to the page where like the girl kisses the girl, but then she also has feelings for this other guy, and I was like, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I barely knew the term lesbian at the time. I was raised super super conservative Christian, and I was also homeschooled, so
Oh, wow.
lots of just censorship of what I could read and what ideas I had exposure to. So that was the first time that I found out that actually these two warring feelings I have inside don't have to be at war. I can be both at once. And from there I got a little bit obsessed. I was always like a very bookish kid, and that's followed through to my adulthood, and I started just sort of feverishly pursuing other bi representation in books, and I kept started keeping a spreadsheet, and this was all very secret. Nobody knew. It was just me and my spreadsheet for quite a while. And then I started verging out into like queer community online, just sort of hanging out in those spaces. I wasn't saying like what my business was there. But I made some good friends who didn't mind that I wasn't coming out to them. I think they kind of knew, like, when you have a sense that someone's like drawn to you because they relate to you, but they aren't ready to say something yet. I found very kind friends who saw that for me and were so patient and let me take all the time I needed. I went to a queer library, a very small queer library, in a city, and I was there as an ally, and I just, happened to go by the section that was labeled bisexual. It was so tiny. And literally like 5 to 7 books, maybe, in a room full of books. In a room full of books, there were 5 to 7. And they were all quite outdated and dusty, and they had these controversial titles. By which I mean, like, if you haven't read the book, it sounds like it's like inflammatory. Like, there's one called The Bisexual Challenge to Lesbian Politics, or Bisexuality, a Critical Reader. And at the time, not having read those books, that sounds so scary. It felt like, oh wait, do I not actually belong here? Is this some kind of argument that and that actually set me back of coming out for my friends for quite a while, because I was like, oh, is it wrong to be like this, or is there just not that many people like me, and so I shouldn't take up too much space. And that really ignited the spreadsheet even further, because I was like, I have to, surely there's more. Is there more? I don't know. And I started getting more into the nonfiction. Instead of looking for representation, I was looking for history. I was looking for culture. I was looking for like the impact on queer history icons. I started looking for all of that and collecting them. I started collecting them physically. And that I found made a huge difference in my mental health because I could every day wake up and look at my bookshelf and say, there are people like me. Eventually, I did come out to the people I trusted, and then eventually, I came out to everybody in my life. But at a certain point, the research got to set this critical mass where I have to do something with this outside of myself, something that benefits other people as well. It does take a lot of research to find this volume of media representing bi people, pan people, fluid, MSpec. But not everybody has the stamina for that or the interest for that, or even the research skills, the resources. So this dream started of a physical library, which when COVID came along, I'm chronically ill, severely immune compromised. I'm not going out right now. Still years into
Yeah,
it.
good idea.
Yeah, I want to live. I don't know about anybody else. And that dream of having a physical location has turned into making an online resource feel as physical and like embodied as the physical space that I get to work in every day. So, yeah, the collection is 700 books, more than 700 books at this point.
Oh,
And
wow.
yeah,
Nice. That's incredible.
it's
More
pretty
than that
large at this
seven.
point. Yeah, this is the only thing I spend money on. It's like my core hobby. It's not even a hobby at this point. I work 20 plus hours on it per week. It's a big part of my life, and I see it kind of as my life's work at this point.
That's pretty cool.
Connecting not just casual readers with like reading material, because not every book in the library is fun for bisexuals to read. I want to put that out there right now. It's not entirely about representation. It's not even centrally about representation. It's about connecting people with resources about their history, things to illustrate, experiences that bi people go through. If someone wanted to write a paper about bisexual representation in young adult novels in the 90s or the early aughts, I could connect them with a list of those books. I could loan them out if they were local. Like it's that kind of thing. It's an academic reference library, as well as also serving as an online resource for people who want to find this representation.
Well, I think it's important to have even like the not so great stuff there, because like you were saying, sometimes part of our history is having to deal with the less nice stuff or the accurate stuff, because knowing how, like, for example, the representation in the 90s maybe wasn't so great, that's still something we need to know. So I like the fact that it's got the good and the bad.
There's certainly themes that have decreased over the years in even in positive representation or what was meant to be positive. You'll see some negative strains sort of die out, and then you see others that are still here. So yeah, the illustration has been very grounding for me personally, and I hope it is for other people when they look on the site. I organize the lists on the site by date for this reason, so that people can, if they want to, they could go read. Let's say someone is like in their early 30s, like me. They could go back and look at the dates for the age that they would have been a teenager, for instance, and read books that were published at that time that were meant for them. And I'll maybe compare it to what's coming out for kids now, because oh my God, it's way different.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, I like the idea too of putting everything in there, just because it was like when I was in college, there was starting to become some positivity, and this is 91, regarding bisexuality. And then it went away. And it comes in spurts, and to know that history knows that you aren't the only one that struggled with this. that society has struggled with this at large. And I just really like that this idea of, I don't like the idea of sheltering people. I don't think that's healthy necessarily. You need to know the whole history to know how far you've come and that you're not alone in a struggle. So, yeah.
I really trust readers to be able to, one, research a little bit more on for themselves, if especially a fiction. And I put this notice on like the book listing site. So especially for fiction, it's like, not every book here is quote unquote good representation. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to give you exactly like what you would want out of one specific book. But it could make you think about your life. It's a way to reflect about how you feel about different ideas. And also it's an illustration. It's like a physical representation of a struggle that you might face.
Yeah.
Or a bigoted belief that some people face. I have nonfiction books in this library that are explicitly about how terrible it is to be bisexual or pansexual.
Yeah.
and
plenty of them out there.
They belong here because they're about the topic that I collect literature about.
Yeah.
Am I also going to just slam them every time I talk about them? Yes. But
it's like, access. Can you believe this book? It's right here. Check it out. I like that. That's okay. You could do that, you know.
Yeah.
How bad it is. You have to see it for yourself. Yeah.
There's a lot of that in the vintage books in the collection.
Yeah, I bet.
Which are some of my favorites. Because they're back. I've got stuff from the 40s
awesome.
On the shelves.
Oh, that's and awesome.
Some of them aren't even completely negative, but some of them are like pure propaganda. And yeah. That's fascinating. There's a book called Bisexuals, the King of Deviance. Which,
nice.
Put it on a shirt.
Really?
I'll wear it.
I like that. That's a
okay.
Badge of honor right there.
But yeah. The history is fun, even if it's truly cruel. And yeah.
So you kind of talked about the process of getting that going. There's more to that though. You have somebody else who works with you. What were the struggles of getting this going? The other person that works with you, I can't remember their name. Help me out.
Christina.
Thank you. Christina.
Yeah.
And that whole struggle, the process there of maintaining, getting it going and maintaining it.
Christina was one of my biggest supporters starting the library. I mean, they're a friend that I made online. We just so happened to both take on a challenge in 2019 of reading only bisexual, pansexual books for a whole year.
Nice.
I know. it changes your life. You can't go back. Actually, it's very difficult to go back after doing a challenge like that. I had decided to do it. They had decided to do it. We're on opposite sides of the globe. And we accidentally found each other online a few months into that, both of our individual projects. And I don't know, they've been an enormous cheerleader for me. They've helped with some of the like proofreading, excuse me. They've helped me with a lot of the proofreading on the website, as well as like consulting on like phrasing when I'm trying to like describe something and I'm not sure if this makes sense to the average person who doesn't spend all of their time thinking about the topic. Some like data entry and finding books to be on my radar. They've been very busy with university work over the past year, so they haven't been as involved during that time, but like I'm never taking them off the site. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the struggle to get the BiPan library going was certainly learning to do things, because I don't know if you know this, but running a website with this volume of pages, it's a challenge. It involves learning a lot of things. I was not a web developer before I did this. And even now, I'm mostly making it up all the time. I Google things to figure out how to do them all the time. I call up my friends who have more experience than me all the time. to figure out how to create this. It's a pretty large site at this point. Each of the 700 plus titles has their own individual page on the website, which includes a bunch of other details about it, like publication info, description, but also table of contents for nonfiction titles, which is really useful for people who are doing research, who are looking like, does this book cover a topic that I'm interested in? Which is great, because a lot of bisexual nonfiction, they're anthologies, and you cannot tell from the cover that there's an essay specifically by a Black disabled bisexual woman. But that's what you're looking for, but you can't find it by looking at the cover.
That's pretty cool.
That makes it a little bit more searchable on the site. But that's a lot of data entry, and that's a lot of pages to manage. So
have you read every book in your library?
I haven't read every single book, no. Okay. I've read a lot of them.
Wow, that's 700 books. That's impressive.
I've read like a little over 160 of them on the website in this collection, plus some that I don't have in physical form yet because I read them before I started the collection.
Oh, wow.
And I mostly read from these shelves. So
this is definitely more than a hobby. This is an obsession.
Full-time here.
I would love to be full-time. Last year, I started a Patreon to sort of grow community support for it because it's it's so much work, and I do it for the love of it, but also I can only do so much for the love of it because I have to have a day job. Maybe eventually this will be my day job, but that's sort of slow going because I'm not interested in paywalling any of the resources.
You know that saying, you know, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. There's a second part to that, and you won't get paid either. But
exactly.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
So, and you've obviously touched quite a bit on it, but just want to get a little more information on what kind of things are in this collection, like more of a little bit of a breakdown. So, if someone's looking for something, you know, they say, "Okay, this is where I can find it."
Sure. The largest part of the collection is books. And I have everything from, I have nonfiction that specifically focuses on bi, pan, fluid topics. That is, I would estimate I have about 85 to 90% of the bi nonfiction that's been published ever. I've done a lot of research. That number could be a little off, but I think I'm close. I never assume I know everything, but I think I know a lot in this particular instance. So I've got all that. But then also there's quite a large adult and YA fiction section, a pretty big memoir and biography collection, and a growing middle grade, which there's so little middle grade, but there have been several that have come out in the last couple of years, and elementary and middle grade kids are starting to have books with representation of people like them.
That's cool.
It's so exciting. It has doubled in the last year how many books I have for that age group.
Yeah, could you imagine what your life would have been if you had a book at age 12 or 13?
And what's great is it's not just books with where like the main character, a kid, is M-spec, but it's also parent characters, like the character's parent is by pan M-spec.
Oh wow.
Nice. Which is even more exciting to me for some reason. Like it's important to have both. Mm-hmm. Because there are now books where parents can talk about themselves with their children with a story to support it. It's a fantastic resource for parents. Later this year I'm hoping to put out a book list specifically for parents who are by pan M-spec. Of books, like adult books, but also books to read with their kids, so they can have these conversations, because those resources are very new.
And that would be awesome. I think that's definitely something needed.
Yeah,
definitely. Trust me, there is.
But what else is in the collection? It's not just books. I also have, I mean, if this were a visual medium, I could show the audience, but yeah. I'll just describe. Behind me, there's also a row of magazine holders that have magazines, newsletters, flyers from spanning like modern day back to, I've got some newsletters from the Bi Resource Center in California back when that existed.
Anything that moved that one or?
No, a different one. Although that was in the same area.
Yeah.
There's another one that predates anything that moves, because anything that moves was like 90s. There's also a newsletter called the Bi-Monthly. And it came out every month. I have some of those from the late 70s.
Wow.
It was a physical location, and they had events, they had movie nights, they had haircut parties, they had all these different holiday parties. They had porn viewings. Like it was,
that's the way to meet people.
It was kind of thriving, and I'm truly sad to say that like it is not open anymore. And there really are not a lot of spaces like that anymore in the U.S. That I'm aware of. There's like one or two that I'm aware of.
There used to be a bi women's place up in Seattle. Is that still there?
A physical location?
There was. I don't know if it was their own or they just met there, but they would get together and do things.
There are a couple, like I know of three bi groups that meet in.
Yeah, I thought they had their own space or something like that.
Not that I'm aware of, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, me too.
I'm always learning new things.
You know, 25 years ago, so yeah.
I would be delighted to hear there was a physical space. If you have that space, hit me up, please.
Yeah.
I won't come there because of COVID, but I'll just be happy from a distance.
Yeah. I know. I kind of missed everybody meeting online during COVID, because it's like there's a lot of places like I can't go to because the lighting will set off a migraine or something. But I would love to just you know, pop in from Zoom or something.
Yeah. And that was one of the original goals of the BiPAN library that I hope someday actually still does come to fruition, was to create a space that people could walk into and be surrounded and feel. There's some part of it that sort of makes me feel whole. When I am in the space, which is great because I work here every day now. So I get to have that feeling every single day, but I want to share that with other people. And I hope someday this becomes a public space for
the
MSpec community.
I would love that. That'd be great.
I want you all to be able to come visit.
Yeah, I would love to.
Come back to Washington.
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah.
No. Could I share a couple other resources that I feel like I don't get to talk about as often?
No, absolutely.
Everyone comes to me talking about the books, but there's other cool
stuff. No. I want to talk about everything you're doing, because there's a lot. You even have listings of podcasts like us.
Obviously podcasts, I can't put them on a shelf, but I do have an online directory of podcasts. It's very much a work in progress. I'm having to communicate a lot with the different shows to get the information that I need to give them an individual page for their site, for their show, including like recommended episodes to start with, things like that. There have been quite a few BiPAN MSpec podcasts. They're getting way more accessible for people to create. It's just way more approachable to start a podcast now than it used to be.
Yeah.
But also most of them are defunct. There's a short list of ones that are still active.
Yeah.
Which I try to put the ones that are active at the top of the site. Just so people can find the ones that are currently updating. But there's like, I see the podcast directory, not just as like, well, a fun, like entertainment source, but also it's oral history.
Yeah.
The ones that are defunct are so valuable still, because some of them are from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Some of them haven't updated in a decade.
Yeah.
But that's a time capsule of information about how people were talking and thinking, and the projects people were working on, the people who were interviewed. Like, there's a lot there, and it's really valuable. And I hope that by putting them all in one place that people can really dive into that oral history. And hopefully that's how I'll be promoting the resource in the future when I
Yeah,
have
no,
some time.
and that's an absolutely fantastic thing, especially tying into the fact that we feel like we really kind of don't have a history, or if we do, it's, you know, it's like shady because, you know, anytime we come out, we almost always feel like the only one, and we just kind of happen upon, oh, wait, there's more of us, you know. So having this as that time capsule adds to that sense of, yes, we do actually have a history. And even if you don't go back and listen to it, it's nice having that feeling.
Yeah, that's a common thing, I think, too, floating in the monosexual communities. Well, bisexuals can't be a thing because there's no culture, there's no community, there's no history. Actually, there's all of those, you know. So it and it's become a point for me anyway to make sure people know that, and that's why we do what we do, right, Mick? Is that we're here.
Yeah, we want
we're
to keep
here too.
Keep the visibility going, because there's so, especially at the time, there was so few, or it was so scattered. It's like, well, we kind of have to keep it going, because there has to be something. We have to keep tying them together.
Yeah, back when I was looking the Bicast, when I found that was the only bi podcast I could find at the time, and I don't know what came before or since, but.
Yeah, I know there was like one or two that I'd come across when I actually found the Bicast, but they were already defunct. It's always been really tough to find, so having a resource like that is awesome.
Yeah, and there's so much value that podcasts bring that books cannot bring.
Yeah,
that's sort of changed in like the age of self-publishing also being like more approachable.
Accessible. Yeah,
but. You can say things on a podcast that a publisher will not allow you to say, or a publisher will simply have no interest in you saying. Like, you can talk about topics that nobody is going to put money behind in the publishing world.
Yeah.
There's so much value to podcasts, and I will like, and I'm biased, obviously. I've been a podcast producer for 7 years professionally. Like, I love the medium.
You do this job pays? What?
Yeah. I've been making a living as a podcast producer for years. I'm very lucky. That's hard to do.
Yeah. this is a totally...
I produced someone else's show. It was not my show. I did not host the show.
This is a
and
totally
I just recently like left to do freelance work instead. So that's, which is why I have more time to do things like this interview and really expand the website. So.
Yeah.
But in addition to podcasts, there's like, I have a button collection, which is not represented anywhere on the website because it's a lot. It's going to be a lot of work to put it up there, like as a as an exhibit, like a digital exhibit. I'm going to, but it takes time because of all the photos and the descriptions. I've got flags. I've got shirts from the 1993 March on Washington, which was the first March on Washington that included "by" in the name. I've got buttons and pins from that. I've got, there's a really big zine collection, over 100 zines that are also not recorded on the website because that's even more work than the buttons.
Yeah.
Those are big projects that, like, honestly, I will need more community funding to get on the website, but it's pure history. So I want to, it's going to take a lot more resources.
Yeah.
But the free resources that hopefully there's going to be a big push for this year are brochures and like physical like downloads that
I saw
like
those.
Queer youth centers, libraries can download, schools can download print on their own and use as resources to share these books with the people who need them. They're like little, I don't know. I don't know if libraries still do this. They have little flyers that they give out to people. Is this still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been
you
in a
can
library
go
for
ahead
3 years.
Some, actually, I don't know. It's been a while. No, I think there is at our library. There's a thing up front where you can put your little brochures and stick them up in the front of the library for people to take.
The newest one is a children's book, a little flyer to recommend children's books so the parents can find them. And yeah, hoping to promote those more this year. They're a lot of fun to make. I've never really seen anything like them. So,
No, very cool.
do you collect music by any chance? I wouldn't even know how to do that online.
So that's okay. I have a spreadsheet for music and musicians, and I have like a Spotify playlist. And I also have the same for movies, but they're not areas that I feel like qualified or quite interested enough to be the one who does it. But eventually, I'll put this out in the world. If I were to find the right person to partner with, especially for movies and music, I would love to expand that onto the website. If I found the right person to partner with, who was really interested, really dedicated, wanted to do that, I would do
That would
it.
be cool.
That would
Yeah,
be
I think so too. I love listening to music. It's just I'm not the right person to research it, and I have to know my limits.
Right. Yeah, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep. What are some of your favorite things that you've curated in the Bipan library?
I mean, I love the old stuff a lot. Okay, I would get up and get it if this was a visual medium again. But
Yeah.
there's this book from the 80s, which to my knowledge is the first bisexual essay anthology or like personal narrative anthology. It's a book called Bi Lives. It was put out by the Off Pink Collective in the UK. It's this thin little green book. There were only about 1,000 published.
Wow.
I have two copies because the stuff that's really important to me and I reread a lot, I get two copies so I can
Yeah.
get personal with one of them,
Yeah.
maybe put a sticky note in it or something, and
Yeah.
the other one stays like a little more pristine. That's one of my favorites because there's a grand tradition of bi and pan anthologies. We love an anthology.
Oh, yes.
We do. They're fun. They're easy to write, easy to
It
collect, and fun.
makes
Yeah.
so much sense, right? We're so
Yeah.
drawn to things, to multiples of things,
That's right.
or like not just representing one side of something.
Yeah.
So we put a bunch of voices in one book. In between
Yes.
the in
Yeah.
between two covers, a lot of stories, a lot of perspectives. And it's one of my favorite things about the nonfiction collection. So that's one of my favorites is that little one. There's also a second book that Off Pink put out called Bisexual Horizons. And it is probably one of the most life-changing collections that I've read.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Is Off Pink still around? Now I got to find this thing.
I don't
No?
believe
Oh,
so. No. No, I'm pretty sure
man.
they disbanded.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would be reaching out like a little like fangirl.
Yeah.
Because I love the books that they put out, but I don't think it exists
Yeah.
anymore. Some of the
Life
people may
happens.
still be around.
Yeah.
Cool thing about Bi Lives, if you go to that link on the website, I link out to a site. It's like buystuffuk.org or something. I don't want to say that's the URL because I'm probably
Yeah.
wrong. But this website has transcribed the entire book with the permission of the original writers. So many of those writers are still alive today. It was only published in the 80s, so and we're able to give permission for this book to be made available to the public. So if you
Nice.
want to read that book, even though only about 1,000 were printed, you can go to that website and read these stories from the 80s. And I highly recommend doing that. What else do I really like? I mean, there's a couple books. I haven't talked about this so far, but like one of the main purposes this collection serves is as a research library, making especially all of this nonfiction that some of it is either rare or expensive, accessible to people across the globe. Whether they are able to afford it or not, whether they can travel or not, it is an online resource. You can book a visit with me on the website and I'll help you research a topic. I'll get you connected with like scans of this one chapter you need, or like help you go through the index on a couple different books to make sure that you're buying the one that will be the most useful for you. So there's a couple books on the shelf now that I've helped research for.
Oh, nice.
So those are
that's
kind of
cool.
favorites. There's a book called By the Way by my friend Lo Shearing, that I have like a tiny little blurb in it, and also I helped with some of the research. And then there's a book coming out. There's a book coming out this month. It's coming out on the 19th, so possibly even around when this episode drops, it sounds like.
Yeah.
It's called Bisexual Men Exist, a handbook for bisexual, pansexual, and M-spec men, by my friend Vineet Mehta.
That's awesome.
I helped a lot with research for that, especially in the men's health, like by men's health section of
that's relevant to my interests. That's awesome.
Yes.
look into it. Pre-order it. Pre-orders are so valuable. For authors, like it's like the main thing that drives success for authors these days. So hey, everybody go pre-order or buy in the first week when a book is released.
Yes, definitely.
So it's really exciting to see that coming out. It's just nice to see it. It's nice to see the work benefit a broader community than I could reach. Like that's the thing I value the most. Like, I don't want to be a personality out here that a bunch of people know. I kind of just want to be like a support beam for a lot of other people's work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's
awesome.
That's one of my
that
favorite
is awesome.
Things.
And that is super important. Cause you know, sometimes it's nice to be out in the limelight and sometimes it's nice just to be just doing what needs to be done. And this is definitely something I believe that needs to be done. And I know there's been attempts at, you know, putting, you know, lists and stuff together, but having an actual, even if it's just online right now, an actual library is, it's a long time coming and it's good to have out there now.
I do want to say, I want to like credit the people who came before me. Obviously, yes, I'm not the first person to put together a list of books. There's lots of people who did it before me. There's even people who've created databases before me. The same year that I read my first bi book and figured out that I was bi, like I came out to myself, 2015. Someone named Carrie Price put together a website. It's a database. It's not its own website. It's part of
I think it's part of a library thing.
Yeah, it's a library thing, database. A resource called the Bibliography.
Yes,
which has been a great resource. I do a slightly different thing than the Bibliography, but I don't know if it's been updated in the last couple of years, so I don't know if that project is ongoing. But I mean, it was happening far before I started my collection, and before that, like the Bibliography was inspired by Robin Oakes' list in the original Bi Resource Guides. It was always a section in the Bi Resource Guides, like all five editions of them, that had called the Bibliography listing some books. And those are some of the ways that I've found like the older material that doesn't have an internet presence, but because I have a name and an author from Robin's resources, I'm able to track down that book.
Those were both awesome resources too. I haven't been on the library thing either in a couple of years. So I'm
what's
not
the
sure.
Library thing?
It's a book. It's like a book database.
It's called Library Thing.
Library Thing. And it was
kind
of back in that time between BBSs and actual like websites. You'd have these type of like databases, and it was very simple interface, but it was very, very cool. In fact, I remember talking with Carrie Price when she started it back in the old Bicast days. Actually, I think I talked to Robin Oakes around that time too. It was a very cool resource, and Carrie was just, she's a very nice person too. She was fun to talk to.
One of the difficulties of being bisexual that the library has helped me move beyond, like process it and then move forward to deal with other things, has been that feeling of isolation, or I'm the only one, or I've never met anyone who, because I have this privilege of being surrounded by a lot of perspectives, a lot of people and characters who I do relate to. I no longer feel like I'm the only one. I see bisexual people everywhere. I see pansexual people everywhere.
Yeah.
I see like unlabeled people everywhere. So I no longer feel that sense of starvation.
Yes.
And when we're stuck in that feeling of starvation, I don't think that we're able to do our best activist work.
Yeah.
I don't think we're able to really I mean, we're looking for essentials. We're like trying to fulfill our base needs. And it is hard to both fulfill your base needs of
and
connection
do anything else.
And do anything else.
Yeah. I found it was affecting my whole life. Like,
yes.
I got to this point where it's like, I can't exist like this anymore. And it was just affecting. I went into this big, deep depression. And I mean, it just affected everything. That affects everything. I mean, from what you eat and sleep and how you relate to other people, even non-bisexual people, anybody, you know, just that having the community has just been huge. And having that history there and getting to meet people, you know, that community is just so big. It's such a huge chunk.
Yeah. And I think that contributes to the infighting that you see among different labels who have a lot in common.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you're poor, you are pitted against other people who are also poor. And in this case, I'm talking about resource poor, representation poor, connection poor.
Well, minorities have always been thrown against each other. That's why,
you know,
always. That's how people in control things.
Yeah. It's extremely tempting and understandable to be sort of trying to fight the person who's like right next to you in line because there's one spotlight.
Yeah.
But like, and that's why I'm really glad that terms like M-spec are gaining in popularity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it does not pit people against each other. It doesn't spotlight one specific label. And maybe we can community build and make some change and progress for each other because we need the same resources or at least extremely similar resources.
Yeah.
So
that's
what I want, this feeling of like excess.
Yeah.
This like 700 plus to really help people feel like there are things for us. We do not have to fight each other. We can relate to each other. We can build more. We have already built a lot. We can build more.
Yeah, that's why we have the, you know, that's why I went with plus when I was creating the name for this. It was but I've heard some people, well, if I see bi plus, I think it doesn't mean me. I think it's like some sort of reactionary term. Like, no, actually quite the opposite. You know, it's just so you get so thrown against the wall so many times, you know, and that you become very defensive. And that was one reaction to it, was this defensive. No, I don't want, it needs to be bi or pan, not both, because somebody had, you know, decided that those two things were, they just got caught up in it. I mean, to me, it's like, it's not my business how somebody else identifies at all. I'm here to give information and to support people across, you know, the M-spec, like you said, I like that term too, but you know, we're all in this together. We have a lot of the same things, and I'm not going to let the, you know, third guy in line pit the two of us together against each other so they can get ahead, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's been going on. And since people have been people. So.
Yeah.
And we're in a constant state of like reinventing, reclaiming, remixing words and language, like constantly.
Yeah.
And that's part of being queer. That's queer history. That's often how we we mark time. That's how I mark time when I'm reading books. I can tell you around what the time this book was published by what language they're using.
Yeah.
To talk about certain ideas.
Oh yeah.
Like
that's
history. Like it's And now that's the terms we're using. We're using terms like bi plus. And when people first start using bi plus was a big change.
Yeah.
A big progress.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just really exciting. I think I think it's still a good term that tells people what they need to know.
Yeah. You know? It's okay to have different identities. We celebrate all of them instead of fight over them. There's a lot of energy just wasted over the years, especially over the last, say, 10 years over bi and pan, you know, this fight over words that, you know, in the end, it's who you are and how you feel and what community you feel closer to that you can get something out of. It's not about me. However somebody identifies, it's not about me. It's about them. And however I identify, I'm not making a comment on anybody else. It's just about me. But there's just, you know, yeah. Anyway, starting to preach. Starting to preach to the choir.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Anyway.
No, it's important. So, all right. So here's the important question here. How can people access your library?
Well, you can visit bipanlibrary.com. Okay. No dashes, no underscores, no dots. It's just bipanlibrary.com. I'm also on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter doing promotion. TikTok, I'm only recently back there. We'll see if it lasts. That truly, that app is a wasteland.
It is, but I'm fighting all of them are anymore. I mean, everything.
It is. So. Also, like, biphobia on TikTok. Intense, because people's faces are there too. It's not just like a tweet. But what I love using the most is Instagram. I recommend following there. Hopefully all of the menus that I've carefully curated do take you where you need to go. If you think that you would benefit from like research assistance, or you just want a book list for fun, or you just want to see the collection, because I do like 30-minute virtual visits for folks.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, is how
shown around,
how
we can
this
do
works.
Video visits now. Yeah. If you go to bipanlibrary.com/library services, that's how you'll find you can just book a visit right away. You don't have to email back and forth with me. I have a Calendly plugin. You can just book a date. And I'm excited to meet you.
I've done that before.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So do you check books out? How does that work?
If people are local, I will loan books out. Okay. I don't have a super intense process for doing that. There's some books I won't. Most of the bi nonfiction collection I will not, because I reference it so frequently for a lot of different people. But the fiction I do loan out to friends locally. So if you are local to me, we could possibly arrange something. Just like get in contact, we'll talk. But that's pretty much it locally. I don't have a big like library system process for that. Yeah. I just have notes that I keep, so I know who has them. And that's kind of,
you know,
it.
Where they live, and you can hunt the book down. Yeah.
I wouldn't loan out anything particularly rare or expensive.
Understandable.
Nothing that I wouldn't be comfortable replacing with like no hard feelings.
Yeah.
That's gotcha. Kind of how it works.
Makes sense.
Everything I've ever lent out has never come back. I mean, I can't think of one thing that I've lent out.
I've had a couple things come back and a couple things not, and that's just how it goes, and I'm glad the book's out there.
Yeah.
I do have like a little bit of community funding through Patreon now, so I am even less stressed about if a book doesn't make its way back to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad it's in the world. That's the point.
Yeah.
And then you're also on something, what did you, I just saw this on your website, Ko-fi? What is that?
So there's a couple different ways to support the library. One of them is Patreon, like I've mentioned, which is a monthly recurring support. And then there's a website called Ko-fi or Coffee. People pronounce it different ways.
Okay.
Where people can make a one-time donation of any amount that they want. It works through PayPal. And I get occasional like tips through there for the work when folks are using the resources. I also have wish lists. That folks can send a book from a wish list to just add straight to the shelves. There's also a, a bookshop storefront, which I don't know if you're familiar with bookshop.org. They have an affiliate program. So if you purchase things off of the book list that I have on the little book, the little bookshop page, we get like a kickback of like $1.50, $2 per book you purchase, which is not bad. As affiliate income,
it's not bad at all. Anything's good.
And also every book in that bookshop shop is a buy pan mspec book, so you're supporting authors and publishers who are publishing this work, and you're supporting the buy pan library, and you get a book. So
awesome.
There's lots of ways to win, and also just sharing, like, sharing the posts from the library, also a great way to support without, if you don't have money.
All about that free support. No. Money is an issue, right?
Money is an issue.
It can be for people. Yeah. So I do like that you have that option, though, of people, how people can support without money as well as with money.
Yeah. I get it. I buy most of the books for the library used, except for I have like a limited pre-order budget per year. So I am supporting the new authors coming out, but I buy most of them used to make it affordable. Most of the books came into the library for under $5 or under $10, with exceptions being made for rare materials.
Now, if I could point you to my favorite by author,
please.
Mick Collins.
Mick,
he
what's
has
your
that
book?
One book. I love that book, Mick, the one about the boys in Idaho.
Oh, Pale Winter Sun. Yeah, it's a young adult.
Oh, that's on my spreadsheet.
Oh, is it?
I don't think I have a physical copy yet.
I can probably arrange for that to happen. I think I have some copies left over here. I can send you one.
Could I arrange for it to be signed?
Yeah, I think I know the guy, so we can make that happen.
Awesome. Yeah, get in touch with that guy, Mick. Yeah. Amy has
a few books too.
Amy's got some good books, and actually I think Amy edited Pale Winter Sun.
Oh. What's Amy's books? What are Amy's books? Let's plug everything.
I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden.
I know. I was, darn it.
Where's my phone?
That one book that I read was a collection of stories.
Tree of Life. It's your most recent one.
Okay.
And it is really, really good. It's called Tree of Life.
Tree of Life. That's one I got to look at. There's a, she had a series out. Yeah, they're both pretty prolific authors. Mick does horror too, which is fun. Mick does fun horror.
Yeah. I try and make it fun.
Yeah.
And I always try and have some sort of queer representation in it. You know, obviously I want to try and have, you know, mostly bi or pan representation, but, you know, I kind of go with the character, but I always make sure that there's some sort of queer representation, because I think it's important.
Yeah.
Especially in horror, because you don't really see it all that often, at least, you know, good representation.
Right. Not in something where there's bi representation, but it's because they're the serial killer.
Yeah. They're either the villain or they're, you know, cannon fodder, one of the two.
To be clear, I love a bi villain, but like, not everybody has love for us in their heart when they do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the whole spectrum, you know, bi villain, bi heroes, bi
a mix.
Side guys, you know. But yeah, exactly. You got it.
That's the other thing that the like resource poverty will keep you from is like appreciating a variety. When you have this many books, you start being able to really appreciate the different flavors. Because you're not starved for good representation. You can be like, I don't know, I kind of like this serial killer.
I do. You know, sometimes you can sympathize with the serial killer. I don't know, you know, sometimes, I don't know.
On hard days. You know?
On hard days. You just had enough. Oh, come on. What is, this is driving me nuts. Give me a second here, because that's not it. What's Amy's book? The one that was an anthology of her stuff. Oh, man.
What she said? Women-centered short
fiction? Yes, that's it. That's it. That's
I'm on our website.
Oh, thank you.
The research gene.
That would have been easier. Yep, to go to the website. Is there anything else that you'd like to discuss that we missed Here's your opportunity.
I'm not sure if you've covered this on the show before, but should we do a quick definition of MSpec? Because I've used the term a lot
Oh,
and
please
some
tell us
listeners
what
might not.
MSpec means because I, yes, I
Trying to
didn't
just
get
shuffle
it.
that earlier in the
Yeah,
conversation.
yeah, yeah.
So MSpec is an umbrella term. Lots of bi folks will be familiar with the umbrella term bi plus, but other umbrella terms you might have heard, like sapphic, is an umbrella term. It sort of encompasses multiple identities that may have some differences to from each other or not, but they all have something in common that the umbrella term is encompassing. So MSpec is short for multi-attraction or multisexual spectrum, MSpec. And it's the reason I like it so much, and I'm really excited that it's really catching on lately. It's even in the titles of books. I think my friend Vineet's book, Bisexual Men Exist, is the first book I'm aware of that has published a title with the term MSpec in it, which is exciting. That's coming out this month. The reason I'm so excited that it's starting to catch on is that it doesn't privilege one label over the other. When you're talking about a resource or a concept or a struggle that all of those identities under the umbrella term do go through. So if you hear MSpec, you can know if you're a bi person, that includes me, and you also can recognize if you're a pan person, omnisexual, polysexual, unlabeled, anybody attracted to multiple genders who like resonates with what that umbrella term means can know that resource is for me. That conversation is for me. That space is for me. And I think that's so valuable, and it's a fantastic way forward for the community. But it's like it's just budding. Where it's new. People are adopting it. I'm seeing larger and more organizations using it. So I think it is going to continue to gain steam like this and be a term that we use to talk about these ideas in the future. It's really exciting to see that happen because that's the queer reinvention. And I love it. It's really fun to watch happen. And it's really fun to also support when I'm doing research with folks for their books. I'm like, hey, have you heard of this cool term? Maybe you could use it in your book.
Yes, I've seen it in a lot of advocacy circles. Anyway, thank you, Bren Frederick of the Bipan Library, for being with us today. Thanks also to Mick Collins, an incredible author in his own right.
Well, I don't know about incredible, but I'm here, and
You
that's the important
are.
part.
I love reading your stuff. Anyway, I'm Elizabeth Meacham. And remember, there's a whole Bi Plus universe ready to embrace you. Reach out and find your community.